Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
I don't push to the point of insanity. I don't think I'm ever going to prolapse.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus!
I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist.
It's terrible!
As long as I get a laugh and you get a laugh, I think we've been successful, so.
That was my grandmother, you son of a bitch! She didn't splatter like a bag of meat!
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet Boyfriends.
Welcome to another episode of Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and with me is the Adama to my tie, Ryan Kloss.
That's a good one!
That is a good one. I don't know if I'm very Adama, though.
You are my old man.
You are definitely more, like, between the two of us, if we had to pick Ty and Adama, I would definitely be the Adama to your Ty, but... In general, if outside of you, I don't know how Adama I am. You're pretty Thai.
Thanks. Thank you.
I mean that in the best possible way.
Yeah. I'm gonna marry some hussy, is what you're saying, so it's
Hi Aaron. you can edit that out.
Oh, that is not getting edited out. Let's say it in. So anyways, it's very weird to me to think about when people start listening to Internet Boyfriends, we're moving up now in the, well, I don't know, this is like fucking episode like 27 or 28 or something, I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, we've been making some episodes. I know it's my goal to bring Internet Boyfriends to episode 100. I definitely want to do that, but
I'll talk to you till I'm fucking can't talk anymore. So
exactly, yeah. So it's not a very hard goal to accomplish, but it's just something that we've been moving up and we've been kind of doing a lot of things. Like we could be definitely doing another Q&A before the end of the year for sure. And yes.
I love the Q&As; they're so much fun.
Q&As
are so easy.
I know.
It's just like you're calling, provide us with topics. Great.
Yeah. So anyways, when we first started doing this, one of the first or second episodes, we talked about food for most of it. So we just started like talking about Subway and like sandwiches and just kept going on and on about food. It's been a really long time. We're no longer really talking about comics because like we covered that last episode of just, I don't really read too much comics anymore. And when I do, it's kind of out of when they're popular to talk about. Movies we really don't talk about because I don't really go to the movies too much. I mean, I'm really the one that's dragging us down here. I'm the fucking albatross around your neck here.
If you want to talk about movies, though, you can listen to The Nape Society, which just came back.
Yes! Featuring
good friends George Capolinas and Rich Johansson. Just Google The Nape, NABE Society, and you'll find it. Shameless plug again.
That's not shameless.
No. Really, we love our friends. We talked about Earth 2 the last one. We're talking about the Nape Society this one. I don't know. We'll talk about the next one. We'll figure something out. We'll plug something.
There's your problem right there. If I want to talk about fucking movies, I'd finally catch up with George and Rich and everybody and go on Nape like I fucking wanted to months ago. And I think I know you did once.
It just was a total disaster.
I was fucking drunk. I know. I'm living up to my tiredness, in right there, but,
I have to go on Nape at some point. So George or Rich, if you listen to this at some point, we'll have to work that out.
You know that they're gonna have us on together, right? It's just gonna turn into a fucking other episode of
We'll just take over the show. That's fine.
Yeah. So.
We're both pretty strong personalities when it comes to that.
But that's the thing, like, I'm good at just sitting here and just shitting out ideas out of my mouth, and then I don't really like talking about, I don't know, Nabe does a really good job, I love listening to them, I love listening to fucking Earth 2, I love listening to Paper Keg, I like listening to all these fucking podcasts.
I want to play the Nabe game! We have to bring back the Nabe game for us to play. Oh, I just caught you when you haven't listened to the Nabe Society in a long time.
I haven't, apparently. What the hell are you talking about?
Not the last episode, because this is the first episode back, but for a while before they went on hiatus, they were playing a thing called the Nabe game, which involved dice and questions and things. It seemed interesting to play.
That was called the Nabe game?
Yep. Well, like, you'd roll the dice, and the dice would pick a category.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just fucking slow is the problem.
And in that you have to name the director, writer, and, like, the main star or something. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So sorry, George and Rich, but it's been a long time. But yeah, it was like, if one of the categories was like, they name a movie and they name the director, writer, and main star or something. Like that. It was stuff like that. It was movie-related, trivia-esque things.
Yeah, it was fun, and that's why fucking people should listen to Nape Society when they want to hear about movies. Also why I don't want to talk about movies, because they fucking... Nobody that I know has a podcast of where they just talk to you. So I like to do that.
Exactly.
Because that's what this is.
And the same, this is the only podcast you're on with any sort of regularity. So this is the Joey show for me, because people can get my fill on Paper Cake West if they want to.
I don't think I've been on any podcast this year at all, so I think I might, because I might do promotion for the book, but
yeah.
As of now, I don't think
I've
been
I'll have you. If you read some comics, I can have you on Paper Cake West.
I'm good, thanks. I'll leave it to the fucking professionals there, because fuck that.
Cameron, John, and Timmy and I are real professional.
Way more fucking professional. You guys have way better shit to say than I ever have to say about comics, because again, like, think about it. I was fucking 24 before I realized that fucking comic books had artists. So I've been in love with writers for so long. I don't know. I like the written word and I love comic books, but I just don't really have.
An interesting conversation about comics in us about how we were talking in the last episode about how games and movies are so expensive to produce that you can't really take risks.
Yeah.
Comics, on the other hand, are not. I think we might have an episode in there talking about that, but that's another conversation.
Oh, we'll see. But this conversation is about food, motherfucker, because it's been at least 20 episodes since we've talked about food, and I like talking about food.
I love food.
How can you not love food?
I don't love onions or mushrooms. Does that count?
No, that's a preference. It's not a, like, it's...
Onions are more than a preference. Onions is a full-on disability at this point.
Why? What the hell's wrong with you?
Okay, we're talking about food. So, my entire life, I've grown up everyone likes food. Who doesn't like food? Don't be ridiculous. But I've always had an issue with mushrooms and onions, more so with onions and mushrooms. I've discovered recently it's a textural thing, because I've recently, to eat raw onions are fine. Like, if I have a taco with, like, diced onions sprinkled on top, or pickled is fine, and I've had a pork belly with pickled onion on it, like a taco, and that was fine. But cooked onions, or, like, onions in, like, a lot of people put onions in a burger patty for some reason that I don't appreciate. It means I have to ask at every restaurant I go to if there's onions in the burger patty, and I feel like an idiot. Because it's the combination of a cooked onion taste and the texture of cooked onions. And so there's a certain subset of onion. And also includes green onions, mostly green onions, and that green onions are more of a problem lately because of the kinds of things I've been eating. But that as soon as it hits me, I gag to the point of almost throwing up. I had to like drink water to down it, and I'm like, I'm no interest in eating this anymore because it triggered that reflex. But I'm really working on it because onions are in a lot of really, like, onions are in every food for the most part, but onions are really, mushrooms are a lot easier to avoid. Yeah. And I think the last time I had a mushroom was New York Comic Con 2 years ago when we went to, Craft Bar together and I had mushrooms then. And that was the last time I had mushrooms. And I tasted them and they were like gross, but I wasn't trying to throw up afterwards, which is fine. I'm fine eating. I don't mind eating things I don't want the taste of. If I'm not trying to throw up afterwards. But so I definitely have an issue with onions that I'm working on somewhat, not extensively, because it's fucking hard to work on. Like it's purely psychosomatic. It's clearly all in my head. Like there's nothing inherent in onions that is making me want to throw up. It's not like it's poison to me by nature of the imagination, because I've swallowed onions plenty of times and not died. But it's when you taste something and it makes you literally gag and almost throw up, it's really hard to taste more of that thing.
Yeah, no, it's funny you actually bring up mushrooms, because that's actually something that I've recently, as in like the last 4 or 5 years, kind of rediscovered. Because when I was about probably 6, 7 years old, you know, my memory sucks. So this is something that really stands out in my life.
Mine's not much better, so don't feel bad.
Specifically, anything like prior to like 18 years old, prior to 18 and anything where I was doing a lot of drugs and drinking, I have fucking very spotty memory. So it's just one of those things of where I was very young and I had mushrooms, someone had like fried mushrooms or something for dinner. And I remember taking it out on the patio and going out into like the sandbox. And I remember having like a big sandy handful of mushrooms and it just tasting awful. Cause obviously who the hell wants to eat food covered in sand? And it was just like that stuck in my mind of whenever I would see mushrooms, I would think sand, and I would get this like, even when I would eat mushrooms later, I'd kind of get this gritty feeling of like, these fucking bitches have sand in them, when I know that they don't. And I know that I'm fucking crazy. We've already covered this many times on Internet Boyfriends before, but it's just something that I can't, like you said, it's just something you can't get out of your mind. The same idea that if you eat bad shellfish for the rest of your life, you're going to be wandering around being like, I don't want to eat shellfish again because that made me sick.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like shellfish. I've had shellfish and don't like it, but I can eat a shellfish without wanting to throw up afterwards.
Yeah.
So like if someone gives me a piece of lobster or a shrimp or whatever, I can eat it and not want to kill myself.
Yeah, well, it's also a sign that you're like in one direction. You're smart. I mean, if you get sick off of something, for example, like I've had clams before, and I got really goddamn sick from eating them, and then immediately, like the week after, someone offered clams to me again, and I was like, "Yeah, let's do this." And that kind of shows me that maybe I'm not an intelligent person because I don't learn cause and effect. But yeah, it's there's a reason for it, and I understand you got to overcome it. But so. Onions are good, mushrooms are good. They still sound more or less along the lines of, I don't know, I just, when it comes to food, if someone ever says to me, I think it's because I'm fucking weird, and I kind of go along with that, I don't like chocolate, so when I say that, exactly, see, there you go. Anytime,
I think our friend Allie is the same way. I think she's anti-chocolate. I'm sorry, Allie, if you're reading this and I'm mistaking you for someone else, but I think we had this discussion, and she wasn't anti-chocolate, but she was just there's battle lines drawn between vanilla and chocolate, sort of. And some people are vanilla and some people are chocolate. And when it comes to cheap vanilla and cheap chocolate, there's no question that cheap chocolate, in my mind, that cheap chocolate is better. When it comes to like good vanilla and good chocolate, there's a lot more depth in vanilla when it comes to be, especially in vanilla when it comes to be good vanilla, there's a lot more depth as opposed to just straight, like, if you have cheap vanilla ice cream, it's just sort of a straight sweetness.
Yeah.
It's not really a flavor.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have good vanilla, there's more to it than just that straight sweetness. And then, and since I met Michelle, when I was a kid, I ate fucking nothing. Since I met Michelle, I've eaten a lot more. I've expanded significantly, and even though she'll make fun of me and yell at me for not trying onions and stuff, but I eat a lot more stuff than I did before, and I want to eat more. It's really just the onion thing that's an issue. Other things, like I'll drink any. It sounds terrible, but I will drink any flavor, but. My problem isn't with flavor, it's with texture.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's a... when it comes to texture, that I have an issue more than anything. Like, I can handle onion flavor to an extent. Onion is a special category because I so associate it with that texture that I have a problem with the flavor in general. But other things, it's primarily a textural thing. Like, I have a problem with shredded lettuce, especially like romaine lettuce, where it's like that
really
thin, that thin crunchy strips, which I associate with onion, how I've had before, like where it's sort of crunchy and thin, and it triggers that sense memory in my mouth that's like, nope, this is not going to go down easy. You can handle, but if it's a leafy green, like I can have spinach and radicchio and arugula, all fine, no problem. So, like, it's really a specific leafy, crunchy texture that I have an issue with. And also slimy texture, which I think is my problem with mushrooms. But, so if I were to drink an onion-flavored thing, I'd probably be fine. But if I were to eat an onion-flavored thing, I'd have more problem with it.
Okay, but again, I can't say I would ever blame somebody for not liking a slimy texture, because that's generally, sounds pretty gross, seems pretty gross.
Yeah,
and it's pretty gross, so.
And granted, that's probably poorly prepared things.
Yeah.
Like, Michelle made some squash yesterday, it was cooked at too low a temperature.
Yeah.
And didn't brown well enough, so I was like slimy, mushy squash by the time it started to brown at all. And it's not good.
Yeah.
Not good at all. And it's no, Michelle's a very good cook, by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just that one instance, it was not good.
Yeah. Well, so.
But I tried it, and that's an improvement over my, in the past, where I was like, nah, fuck it.
I thought that you were gonna,
Say it, it's all good.
I know. So you were borderline segueing there, because you're talking about as you have met Michelle and you've started to get into more types of food and everything, you've been broadening your food horizons, wanting to eat more food. But however, that's at odds with something else that's going on in your life right now. So hey, types, you want to pay attention to what's going on over here?
Well, what, I'm not sure. I'm still not clear what you're talking about. I'm
talking about you have a new adventure you're going off.
Oh, yeah. I weigh too much. Just the long and the short of it. I'm lucky in that if you looked at me, you might not think I weighed 225 pounds. But, because I'm lucky in that I carry it over my whole body fairly evenly. Some people carry, like, all in their stomach or all in their ass or all, like, wherever, depending if you're boy or girl or whatever. It doesn't matter. But I carry it extremely evenly. So whenever I ask someone what I weigh, they tend to skew, like, 20 pounds lighter than I actually am. Like, I'm not thin enough anymore. They would think I'm under 200, but they would, like, 200, 205 or something because it's spread everywhere.
You're a good-looking dude.
I'm not good looking,
yeah,
but
you're
it's
a
like
good looking dude.
It's thighs, calves, gut, wrapped around my organs, keeping them insulated in the winter. Like it's everywhere. It's not just in my belly. It's not just in my like. It's not just in one spot for me. But at 225, like when I was in high school, I was 150, and at 150, which if you look at your BMI for my height at 5'10", is appropriate. It's totally valid. But for me, at my height, it's appropriate, but really, I looked like I was emaciated and had a giant head. So I would rather be a little heavier from my frame, but I don't want to be 225. I would rather be 180, 185 or something. Like, I would rather be in that range. So I got like 40 pounds to lose. So, my girlfriend Michelle decided to try Weight Watchers after, like, some friends were starting it, and she's like, whatever, we had a deal, it was like $80 for 3 months or something, which was a few dollars off. And she signed up, and then a couple hours later, I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it. So I signed up, and Weight Watchers is as close to a video game as you will get with a diet program as you can find.
Yes.
At 225 and a male, because women will be different because men for some reason have more points than women. Not for some reason, we burn more calories naturally because that's how it is. And so I had 48 points to work with a day. And if you ever tried Weight Watchers, that's a fuckload of points, for lack of a better term.
It sounds a lot, yeah. Chicken nuggets, like two points, right?
It's changed in the last few years. It changed from points to points plus. And I'm not 100% sure what the difference is. I know they calculate differently, and I think it skews a little higher. than it did before, but I don't know exactly the ins and outs of how it was before and how it is now. So, I had 48 points, and if I'm not eating fast food, it would be very difficult to push past 48 points. If I'm not having, like, fettuccine alfredo and cheesecake for every meal or something. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's tough. Like, today I've had... let me pull up my today's Weight Watchers thing.
Well, it sounds more like they're trying to get you in the habit of making just better food choices every once in a while.
There is that. Like, there's stuff that is... They it's not just based on calories. It's based on... You have to... When you enter... If you enter a food that's not already in the system, you enter fat, carbs, fiber, and protein.
Yes.
So each one's weighted not purely for their caloric value. Like, fat's eight. Like, typically fat is 8, and carbs and protein are 4. For, I don't know if it's grams to carbs, or grams to calories or whatever, but whatever it is, like, fat is double what carbs and protein is. And so it's not full on that, but it's, so you find stuff like fruit and vegetables are 0 points if you're having one serving. So you can have lots of fruits and vegetables as long as you only have one serving at a time. You can't make a ratatouille or something, which would have, once you turn into a recipe, they actually factor in the amount of carbs and fiber and whatever is in it.
Yeah.
So there's stuff like that. And, so it's been 2 weeks, and like my diet, I decided the first week I wouldn't change a whole lot about how I'm eating. Like, I made I don't know what it's in the States. In Canada, like, one of those oven pizzas in Canada, it's called Delicio. I don't think the Delicio exists in the States, but it's the Kraft brand of, oven pizza.
It's something similar. Yeah, we have something similar, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I know you do, it's just not called Delicio, so I'm just saying it's the Kraft pizza instead of the McCain or whatever. So we have, instead of having half, I had 2/3 or something, which was enough of a change that it didn't give me enough points that I would, like, blow my total point value for the day. Every Wednesday when I go and get my comics, I would also go get fast food. So I'd hit up, Wendy's or KFC or Subway or in Canada Harvey's, which is a burger joint. And as I, last week was my first full week on, so I was Googling trying to find out what the best possible fast food thing was, because I still want to go out and get my takeout dinner, takeout lunch to bring back home. Because I like that. I like not having to worry about cooking. Anyway, whatever. And Thai Express, right out. KFC, right out. There's no question.
Really?
Like, Thai Express is... I don't know if you have Thai Express in the States, but Thai Express in Canada, if you had a Pad Thai or a Pad Su, it would be more than a Big Mac trio.
God damn.
Yeah, it's not good for you. It just, like, well, it's better for you, like, in terms of strictly points, it's not good for, it's as bad or worse. Yes, it's probably more nutritionally dense because it's vegetables and other things as opposed to a fucking burger and fries, which are pretty nutritionally empty.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's more nutritionally, like, yeah, it's nutritionally dense. But it's a lot of carbs. It's not a lot of protein.
It's a lot of carbs. It's not a lot of protein, especially the pad soup. But, like, it's... Yeah, so, yeah, it's not... So I was like, okay, none of that. And before I started Weight Watchers, I've been joking to Michelle, like, just before Weight Watchers, I did Mandal's Monopoly was going on, so I had a lot of McDonald's because I am a Mandal's Monopoly addict.
Yes.
And at the end of that, I was feeling terrible. I was like, my body was saying explicitly, like, no more McDonald's, please, no more McDonald's.
Is that why the Weight Watchers came up?
It wasn't entirely that, but that was
like, I'm done. This is detox, bitch.
That was part of it because it was really like it was November 1st we started, so it was pretty much it was like a couple of days difference between the two, maybe a week, but whatever, it was close. So I that's why I decided. I was like, and so we, and I'm starting to discover more things that are worth. Few points, but are like potatoes are fairly low points, but are fairly filling. We make these turkey burritos, which are very filling, but are low points and stuff like that. So I'm starting to find that balance. I didn't weigh myself before I started. I decided I was like, oh fuck, I'm not weighing myself again. But I knew it was around 225. I fluctuate a lot. Like, I will easily fluctuate 4 or 5 pounds, depending on the day or time. I don't know if that's everyone or just me, but I will. So I just like, oh, I'm about 22, 25. So I put that in to weigh myself beforehand.
I pause because I'm the wrong person to fucking ask there. I'm the guy that dropped 40 pounds in like 4 months. So
yeah,
I'm
but
the
you
wrong
were you were in the you were in the stressing the fuck out diet.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it's also, I don't know, it specifically that instance of losing like 40 pounds. That was right after Rachel broke up with me. And I went from living alone to living with people to eating maybe like one big meal a day or, and then kind of like other shit on the side to eating, you know, much, much smaller meal. Like now what I always eat much smaller meals. Like I very rarely do I ever go over like 500, 600 calories per meal.
Oh, that's pretty, if you're having 1500 total, that's really nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's even right now, I'm actually, interestingly enough, I'm actually trying to gain weight right now in comparison to losing weight because I'm trying to put on muscle. And I actually am around about 3,000 calories a day is where I should be at right now. So it's kind of not doable for me. I just don't eat that much. For some reason, yeah. I just don't have that. I don't know. I'm having a lot of trouble finding food that's crap. Like I really probably should just start eating McDonald's for every freaking meal. But
I gained 50 pounds in a year between eating McDonald's or Danishes for breakfast every day. I'm chalking up to that. I gained 50 pounds in a year.
There is no way that I could ever put on 50 pounds in a year. That
you
is,
could. You I would could. Feel terrible, but you could.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll take your word. Well, but the thing is, I don't know. Like, I like Danishes, but I just don't. I'm not like a big sweets person, I guess. Like every once in a while, like
I'm not at all either. But I had like I worked at this financial firm for a year, and every day I'd get off the train, and there was this bakery, and I had 2 Danishes and a Snapple every morning. Or
why do you need a big bucket of fucking sugar? That is insane.
That's nothing. Or
oh.
The McDonald's also in the train station. No. I would get 2 sausage muffin trios.
Oh God!
Plus
oh.
an extra hash brown. So that is 2 sausage muffins, 3 hash browns, and for me, 2 apple juices as my breakfast.
They are kind of small apple juices.
Yes, the apple juices are a superfluous thing, but yes. It was 2 sausage muffins and 3 hash browns. And yes, I gained 50 pounds in a year, and one day, while at work, I split my pants.
Yeah. I can
understand. So that was the beginning of the end. I went from at that point, I guess 140 to 190, I guess it would have been. It was 50 pounds. Would have 140 to 190, and since then I've gained 30 pounds, much more slowly than in a year. So that's much more reasonable, but still.
Yeah.
So since I started Weight Watchers, assuming I was actually 225, I lost 9 pounds in 2 weeks. I've probably actually lost 6-ish. But still, that's pretty good for me for not exercising really at all.
Okay.
I've cut down on alcohol a fair amount because alcohol is expensive.
Yeah,
a bottle of wine is 21 points.
You have to be more specific. When you say that alcohol is expensive, I'm like,
yeah, I don't care about the money. The money's no issue. Not that I'm making a ton of money, but the money's no issue. It's alcohol. A bottle of wine is 21 points. And I guess Sunday we had a friend over, and we ordered Michelle and I looked at the Domino's points values and figured it all out. So we took our dog for a walk, and when you do exercise, you gain points. So we took her for almost a 2-hour walk, so I gained 8 points that day. And as such, I could have my 3/8 of a thin crust pineapple and ham pizza from Domino's.
Okay.
And a bottle of wine. And the bottle of wine was key. But I really missed pizza too. This has been a while since I had pizza. But, I dipped into my, what are called activity points.
Yeah.
A little bit for the wine, but I had a full bottle of wine. I was very happy. Today, I had enough points after to have, 6 ounces of bourbon, which is 15 points. So I haven't been drinking a ton, but I'm making sure my, knowing how expensive for Weight Watchers alcohol is, has sort of curtailed my slightly infamous drinking habits. thankfully, marijuana is 0 points, as I've said to some people.
Really?
It's inhaling. The problem is I can't munch on salty snacks afterwards. It's a real problem.
Yeah, that's the catch. But
we've also we also bought some jerky, some Singapore style jerky, which you can get in New York in Chinatown, and we saw it on a show in Canada called Dragon's Den, which they turned into a show called Shark's Tank in the States, if you've seen that. And it was a company in Vancouver that produced this jerky that after we tried some in New York of this style that we decided, oh, we'll order some. And so 50 grams of jerky is 4 points. So that's become sort of my standard snack is jerky.
Mm.
And this, and before this kind of jerky, I was not a jerky fan. But this jerky's fucking good. So, if you can find Singaporean style jerky, go for it. It's delicious.
I'm interested in this. I'm a big fan. I too like the jerky, so it's interesting to me. Yeah. But I just brought
That's my food. That's both a recap and my food lately. Although if I end up in Chicago or New York, if I'm on vacation, I'm taking a fucking break from Weight Watchers, especially if I go to Chicago, because Chicago food is not light on the points.
No, it is not. And I actually, as you were saying about the bottle of wine, I wanted to figure out what it actually takes to burn off for me. If I drink a bottle of wine, what it would take for me to burn it off under the Weight Watchers plan.
I will tell you. What do you want to do?
Figured it out on my own. It actually would be my normal workout equals one bottle of wine. Normal biking workout.
You'd have to do of brisk walking.
Yeah.
Of brisk walking, it is basically a point for 10 minutes. So you would have to do.
You did
3 hours and a bit of walking.
Well, mine's biking actually. So that's
biking would be a lot less. But biking are points plus. Let's see, biking. Bike.
Yes.
Switch. I assume you do fast, not moderate.
Yeah, I go pretty fast. I'm going about over 10 miles. It's somewhere between 10 to 12 miles an hour on the bike, yeah.
60. An hour and a half of fast biking, it counts as a bottle of wine.
Yeah, that's the same thing Monster Thing said, yeah. Yeah, so, that's for you though, because
that's straight up. It's 23 points for 90 minutes of fast biking.
Oh, okay. So they have changed it because you're looking at the points plus. I'm looking at the original points thing. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I think there's definitely, we've been Googling a lot to try to find out stuff like restaurant values and things.
Yeah.
So there's a lot less on the internet for points plus versus the old Weight Watchers points.
Yeah.
But based on what I just saw, it's because I've subscribed, so I can see the official values.
Mm-hmm.
It's 90 minutes is 23. So you have a bottle of wine, and you could probably have a bottle of wine and a glass of bourbon, and you would have no points used after using 90 minutes of biking activity.
Sounds good to me. I get fucking sloshed and then go biking. So
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fucking, as always, I'm fucking proud of you for trying something new and different and whatever. I mean, I think you look great, so I don't really know. I thought you looked pretty good.
I don't think I look terrible by any stretch of the imagination. I know physically I need to lose some weight. Like, because I don't really exercise, I need to get some of the fat off of my body more than anything. And once I start exercising, I can go back to eating mostly terribly.
Yeah.
But I probably won't. The last 2 weeks, this is going to be a little intimate for people. My gastrointestinal behavior has been significantly better for the last 2 weeks than it has previously.
I like how you have to preface that from the guys. From the guys who brought you the poop.
We did the poop episode, so that's fair. But it's definitely improved in the last 2 weeks.
That's good.
That makes me feel like I don't probably like. I have my mom has Crohn's colitis, and like Well, Crohn's isn't genetic. It runs in families, so it's probably a behavioral, like, cultural thing more than anything. But, yeah, so I'm excited. I'm happy to know that while I'm eating slightly better, I have no issues digestively.
Good.
Which is good.
Yes, that's very good. I'm a big fan of that.
Me too. So, food.
Food, yeah. I don't know.
We talked about that a lot longer than I thought we would, so.
What's that?
We talked about the a lot, White Watchers and stuff a lot longer than I thought we would.
That's okay. I think everybody will get a kick out of it, so.
One slight food anecdote I'm very upset about.
Yeah.
There are four restaurants I want to go to in Chicago centered around California and Belmont. Hot Dogs, Kuma's Corner, Pork Shop, and Urban Belly. And anyone who's been to Chicago knows that there is fuck all to do around Belmont in California.
I heard it's a shitty neighborhood.
It's adjacent to, it's not far from okay neighborhoods, but that area, there's nothing to do in that amount of, like, I was joking, not joking, but I, like, we're idly thinking about going to Chicago in April.
Yeah.
For nominally C2E2, and what would likely happen is we would eat all over Chicago and I would spend a couple hours at the Connie State, but not, C2E2 is the Chicago Comics Entertainment Expo. And I would spend maybe an hour a day there, and the rest of the time would be eating around Chicago, because we've been to Chicago twice now, and it's a city we both love. By we, I mean Michelle and I. And we both love, and the food is great. There's lots of great food in Chicago. As such, we found lots of us want to eat. So we've planned each meal, and now we find more and more places every time they want to eat. And four of them are within a 5-minute walk of that intersection, and that intersection is nowhere near anything else to do. So it's a matter of hopping on the train and going to, like, Wicker Park or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not like we could, like, twiddle our thumbs in it. Like, if memory serves, there's a bank on that corner. There's a bank. Kuma's Corner is on that corner. Diagonally across is a bank. And so, like, there's not a lot to do. Like, if you go farther east on Belmont, there's a bakery. Like, most of my reference points in Chicago are food-related.
As they should be.
But that's not very conducive to killing time between eating. Like, I can't, like, oh, I had a hot dog at Hot Dogs. I'll go to Bleeding Heart Bakery and hang out there while I'm waiting to digest to eat at Kuma's Corner. That's not going to happen. Because I won't be hungry again to go eat there. So that's the dilemma we're facing now if we go in April. But I'm hoping we go in April because I miss Chicago. I fucking love Chicago.
I love Chicago too. But that sounds like a dilemma that could be fixed by barfing. So
it's also very much a first world problem. I can easily hop on the L and go back to Belmont anytime, and get, like, it's not a really big deal.
That is even beyond a first world problem, because there are people in America who, well,
that's a first world luxury problem. Like,
yeah.
I can't eat these four delicious restaurants.
I have two.
What else could I possibly do? I did discover Pork Shop delivers. So we were idly thinking about finding a hotel in the Pork Shop delivery area.
Oh my god.
So, like, literally, we've been to Chicago twice now, and if we go in April, it'll be a third time. We plan everything around where we're going to eat.
I love this dichotomy between talking about how you're trying to be more healthy and you're on Weight Watchers. And
oh, if I go to Chicago, I am not logging any points. It's done. I will start again the day I get back. But while I'm in Chicago, I am fucking eating. I'm going to Topolobampo. Like, the current plan, yeah, roughly, is to go to Topolobampo, Grill and the Goat, Hot Dogs, which is a hot dog joint, Kuma's Corner, which is a heavy metal burger joint, Urban Belly, which is a Asian-y type place, but like pork belly and stuff like that. It's rice and buns and stuff. Where else do I want to go? Joko, I get. We wanted to go to Joko again. What else? What places?
Whoa, what's that?
Joko, there's a Mexican chef, there's a Mexican food chef named Rick Bayless out of Chicago.
Okay.
And Rick Bayless is not Mexican by any stretch of the imagination. He's not, but he was it. I think he's an anthropology major and went down to Chicago and fell in love with Mexico. He didn't go down to Chicago. He went down to Mexico and fell in love with Mexico. And he first opened Frontera Grill in Chicago. And then he opened Topola, which was his sort of, not super high end, but higher than casual and Mexican restaurant. And we went there the first time we were in Chicago. Okay. Then he opened Topola Bamba, which is full on high end Mexican place. And then he opened Joco, which is his, Joco is chocolate in Spanish or at, like ancient Aztec or something. Like it's XOCO. So it's based around, like, there's lots of drinkable chocolate and stuff like that at Joco and sandwiches. And so we went to Joco for lunch one day and had delicious sandwiches. And we know Rick Bayless because he had a PBS show called Mexico One Plate at a Time. And so Michelle and I both knew him from that. And then he was on Top Chef Masters and won the first season of Top Chef Masters. So right after he won, we're like, we're going to Chicago in a couple months. We gotta book this immediately, and booked and made reservations to Frontera. So we went to Frontera the first time, went to Chicago, Joco the second time, and we've been talking about going in April and planning things already. So if we go again, we'll go to Topola Bamba, which is the third Bayless restaurant in Chicago.
Okay.
And they're all literally on the same corner.
Yeah.
In, like, River North type thing. I don't know Chicago well enough to say for sure it's River North, but, like, in this, they're all in the same corner for sure. So, yeah. We're big fans of him and his food.
sounds like you're,
Yeah, if I have a job in come January, likely we'll be in Chicago in April.
Okay.
And eating our way across Chicago again.
Rightfully so.
And then coming back and going, oh, I feel terrible. But maybe I'll be under 200 pounds by then, so we'll see.
good luck with that, sir. I hope that it all works out really well so you can eventually stuff your face when you go to Chicago.
So, do you have anything to say about food?
I've
been rambling this episode.
I'm having a good time fucking listening. Some of this will get cut depending on what actually comes out, but I'm having a good time just listening. So,
all right. We're at 40 minutes now. So,
yeah. All right. So, I think we're pretty good. I think I'm pretty good. I don't really have a lot to say about food. I guess it's just not really. I guess I still love food just as much as everything. It's just that I don't really have a lot of people to eat with, because my parents are around every once in a while to eat with, and they kind of eat extremely plain food all the time, and I don't.
That's how I used to be. I still am a fair amount of the time, but I discovered flavor in the last 5 years.
Yeah, exactly. Like to me, I like food that's extremely flavorful. Not a big fan of sweets, but I do like stuff that, like, for some reason, I just really just like. Mexican food is probably the best example. Like, Mexican food, the idea of Mexican food, however it came about, culturally, and they were like, hey, we should totally make food that tastes awesome all the time, and it just has, like, just, like bursts with flavor. Like, it's very commercially, or kind of, like, goofy, cheesy way to say it, but it's like, I always feel like when I eat Mexican food, I'm just like, fuck yeah! Like, there's fucking 900 things in this, and you can taste every little bit of it. It's awesome.
Mexican food's what also set me over the edge of, like, I gotta fucking suck it up and get over this shit, because Mexican food's really good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's usually when I do have the opportunity to go out and be like, hey, I want to go grab some food. Usually Mexican's the way to go for me. I like to have Mexican. Especially because I'm of the opinion that you can't get bad Mexican food. I'll eat Taco Bell and be happy with it. I don't care. I prefer not to have it, but I'll eat it. And
if you've had Mexican food in New York, you probably get Mexican food, but Chicago has some really good Mexican food.
I would say I probably haven't had, I've had Mexican food in New York and I've had good Mexican food, but I haven't had, like, the best Mexican food ever. Like, I know I could go up a little bit, especially because most of the time when I do get Mexican food, it's Moe's, and Moe's the chain, and Moe's is good. I mean, it's just not, you know, like it's Chipotle and Moe's generally. Like if I'm gonna get Mexican food,
yeah,
it's that Chinese food. I don't even have the opportunity of getting a chain restaurant or anything from. Not that
there's only so much PF Chang's you can have.
We don't even have PF Chang's around here.
Really?
Why would you need them? Like everyone around here, like. Every
chain. Yeah, but it's Jersey. Jersey has every chain under the sun. As I'm surprised you don't have a convenient PF Chang's.
No, I don't. I've never stepped foot in a PF Chang's ever.
I have once in Chicago, unfortunately.
Why, unfortunately?
Well, it was like PF Chang's is not great. Like it's very much the like it's not. I mean, I'm not a huge Asian guy. Like. I'm growing on it, but I'm not, I will get General Tso's chicken, fucking sesame beef every time.
Yeah.
And that's not authentic Chinese food by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no. American Chinese food.
It's the same with Canadianized Chinese food, but yeah. Like, so we went to PF Chang's and it's whitewashed Chinese food. But we were like, it's late, it's right across the street from the hotel, and we had to get to a cab to the airport. And we went, it was good, it wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
But if you're a foodie or like looking to find Chinese food, I wouldn't go to PF Chang's, is what I'm saying. Oh, and if you're ever at any of Rick Bayless's restaurants.
Okay.
And don't have an innate aversion to Mezcal.
I don't.
He has a fantastic Mezcal margarita.
I'm interested. Hey!
So good.
Speaking of fucking chain restaurants and Mexican food, fucking Chipotle serves alcohol.
I wouldn't know. There's no Chipotle in Canada.
Oh,
I've never eaten a Chipotle in my life. In Quebec, we only just got Taco Bell in the last. Actually, it's been a few years now, but we were the last people to get Taco Bell. Even I had Taco Bell for the first time going to Fan Expo in 2010. So, like last year, going to Fan Expo, it was the first time I had Taco Bell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would prefer local. I am not a big fan of chain restaurants.
Yeah.
Chipotle is fucking good. Chipotle and Moe's are really fucking good places, but I'm impressed because Chipotle apparently serves alcohol and they make badass margaritas. So
every time I think of Chipotle, I think of the South Park episode with the Chipotle way, which gets the blood stains out of your underwear after you shit blood after eating Chipotle.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So I think I'd enjoy Chipotle, probably, but I'm genuinely scared to eat Chipotle because...
No.
There was one of those, literally, like, the last hotel when we went to PF Chang's, it was right around the corner from our hotel, there was a Chipotle across the street. And we could have eaten there. But I was like, no, I don't want to be shitting blood on the flight back home. So
you are Chipotle. You have had some that's way, way worse than Chipotle.
Oh, of course I have. I've been a shill at a McDonald's. So there's no question.
No. I'm not even saying it like that. I'm saying that I don't know. I'm pretty sure that you've had stuff that's way less tame than that.
Oh yeah, probably.
Yeah, like not even like a nutritional bad. Just as like because Chipotle, you can get some fucking high octane crap from them, but generally. Pretty good, and I think they have like everything's farm raised, grain fed, you know, kind of like
as far as fast food goes, yeah.
Yeah, like it's really the best you're gonna do for fast food, and I don't know, I'm all about them, and it's very hard to talk about them because every time I say that name normally, I pronounce it wrong on purpose, and
you have this whole time you've been saying Chipotle.
Chipotle instead of Chipotle. Yeah, I prefer to say Chipotle and Jalapeno and cheese.
That's wrong too, so.
What's that?
That's wrong too, so it's all good.
Chipotle is the wrong way to say it?
It's Chipotle.
Oh, fucking whatever. I'm glad sticking with Chipotle then. Fuck them. I want my Jalapeno and cheese from Chipotle, and they can go fucking blow it out their ass, because I'm an American, damn it. I don't need to be talking about your fancy words from no other languages. Besides American.
Fuck Americans.
Yep. And that's why I don't want to talk about food, because I figured I'd leave it up to you, leave it mostly in your court, because people were like, that's really weird that the fucking Canadian's talking about food all the time. The Americans should really be doing that. But no. Oh no.
I am the fatter of the two of us, that's for sure.
I would never say that.
You wouldn't, but it's true. There was no argument.
Well, with that, so I don't have to comment any further
However, as far as fast food goes, Wendy's salads are pretty damn good, especially if you don't add all the dressing and, like, if you have, like, sugared pecans or something, they're pretty good.
Really?
Yep. That's what I'm going to get from now on Wednesdays is Wendy's salads. I'm going to get the Wendy's, I forget what it's called, but it's the one with apple and chicken.
Oh, that salad's pretty badass, yeah.
It's good, because I don't like tomatoes.
Yeah.
But I get that one, and it comes, like, if you just enter that Wendy's one into the thing, it says it's, like, a million fucking fat points.
Yeah.
But if you don't put the sugared roasted pecans, and I don't want them.
Yeah.
Or the second packet of pomegranate sweet dressing.
Yeah, the berry.
Dressing,
yeah.
One is fine. One is more than enough for me, at least. And as such, it comes to, like, 10 or 11 points, and that's totally doable for my currently 46 points because I'm down to 216 or something.
Nice.
So 46 points of points per day. So that's no problem. It doesn't really count as fast food. Like Harvey's, my burger, fries, and drink was 30 points.
Oh man.
So I'm like, oh, I miss you, Harvey's.
But hey, that Wendy's salad, you don't really need the second packet, and
you don't.
If you close the lid and shake it the fuck up, you can fucking toss your own salad. So
yep. And with Weight Watchers, you do have 49 bonus points, which I think of as overdraft, like if you're having a bank.
Yeah.
So I haven't used them yet, but I can't. You're allowed to be on Weight Watchers and use them to like pound back some drinks. Like I know, I don't think Quack listens to this, but LH Quack on Twitter was at some event because he shoots. He's a photographer.
Yeah,
he shoots concerts and stuff sometimes, and he used 80 points one night because of the open bar and appetizers and things like that. And
yeah.
So we had to dip into his bonus points, but that's part of the deal. So you have 49 extra points for the week. Either splurge out one day or have 7 extra points a day or whatever you want.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like I had a breakfast poutine, which was it wasn't perfect. It could have been better, but I've seen a better breakfast poutine online on, This Is Why You're Fat. But this was sliced in half, like new potatoes or small potatoes. Covered in 3 kinds of cheese, hollandaise, and 2 poached eggs. And it was marvelous, but it could have been better. It clearly was not light on the points. It was 30 points, but I did a walk that day, so I had extra points to deal with for dinner. It's all a video game. You gain points for exercising, you lose points for eating terribly, and you ultimately want to get the best score you can get. Like, I'm maximizing my bourbon intake. I've discovered that 6 ounces of bourbon is the same as 3 times 1 ounce, as 5 times 1 ounce of bourbon. So I get, it's like buy 5, drink 5, get 1 free.
Well, alright, is there any way that you can actually compare with friends? Because that's a whole nother level.
No, there's a social networking aspect of it, but I haven't done any of that, so I don't really know how it works. And I'm not sure if, like, on my weightwatchers.ca, if I could become friends with Quack or whoever on weightwatchers.com.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not really, like, again, I'm a solo gamer.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I'm all about, like, the best I can on my own. And right now I have to add 15 points of bourbon to my list. I'll do that right now. Bourbon. 6 ounces of bourbon, 15 points.
Well, while you're doing that, I am going to wrap this up, because I think we're pretty much
7
good.
Points left. Woohoo!
Better get drinking, bitch.
No, so, I'm done.
Anyways, it has been a pleasure talking to you about food here on this
As
episode
always.
Of My Boyfriends, but we're done. We're fucking done talking about food. Because I'm getting kind of hungry, so I'm kind of not wanting to talk about food anymore. So... anyways, yeah, so I'm Joey, which at Joey Heflick on Twitter, and with me is
Ryan, at Gobo on Twitter. And if you want to leave us an iTunes review, feel free.
Really?
Don't feel obligated, but I think all the other podcasts suggest you do it. I don't really care if we become super popular on iTunes, but yeah, give us a review. I'm curious what you have to say.
I never even fucking realized that I don't use iTunes at all, so that's... Wow.
I mean, I won't see it because I'm in iTunes Canada unless you're Colin or maybe Devin if you're listening to this. I won't see your review. But,
so you're saying that I gotta go fucking check this shit out, is what you're telling me. You're adding more work for me to do. Yeah, that's great.
Well, I can see the American store if I want to, but I'm naturally in the Canadian store.
Fine, whatever.
All anyway, right. Take care.
See you later. Thanks for listening. We love you all. See you next time.